We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
What if old George could talk? The places he's been, the people he's been with, all the ways he has been used. They tell you to wash your hands often if you handle money because you have no idea where old George has been. If old George could talk to us today, what would he say about us? Who better than George to tell people about us? He could tell us where we spend most of our time. Because you work long, hard hours for so many of these here Georges. He could tell us about your weakness for Starbucks caramel frappuccino with extra whipped cream. Old George knows if you're charitable or stingy. He knows which charities you support and how consistently you support them. You can't hide your illness from George. He is there when you buy the medication or pay for the treatment. Before you ever told anyone about your new love interest, George already knew. He played a major role in the first date. George knows about your kids. He knows when they were born and where they go to college. If someone is cheating on their spouse, George is the first to know. George knows if you have plans for your future. He also knows if you're just living day by day. Truth is, you can't hide anything from George. If money could talk, what would it say about your life?
How are you doing today? My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm lead pastor here, and we're here to talk about what today? We're here to talk about money. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable to talk about money. Please trust me. I've got some things to tell you. If money could talk, what would it say about you? We're going to take 2 weeks in our Sunday service and 4 weeks in our Connect groups to talk about money. But before we dive in, let me level with you. Can I level with you for just a moment? There is no gotcha to this series. There's no gotcha moment. We aren't talking about money because we're about to ask you for some. There is no building campaign around the corner where we will ask you to pledge so many George Washingtons, all right? However, there is always a cause for money around Redemption Church. There's always a need and a cause. We try to keep you in the loop on how you can make a difference locally and also globally to carry out the gospel. For instance, in a few weeks, we're having our Russian friends, the Kiesels from Mykop, Russia. They're going to be here. And we're going to want to give them some money and help them. Those needs are always around. It's not like those needs just come once a year. We get calls for those needs all the time. We always have those needs. However, that's not why we're talking about money. There is no gotcha to this series. There is no, now that we've made you feel like a guilty, selfish scumbag, let's ask you for some money. There is no moment like that. Please believe me. Look at it. Look at somebody and say, there's no gotcha moment. No gotcha moment. No gotcha moment. We are talking about money. Why? Because it affects all of us. It affects every part of our lives. Money affects your emotions, it affects your relationship, it affects your children, it affects you even spiritually. Money does. Not only does the subject touch all of our lives, but the majority of all Americans are experiencing problems with what? Money. Here's some shocking statistics. Quickly, 1 in 4 people have more credit card debt than savings. The average U.S. household credit card debt is $15,185. Wow. The average credit card interest rate is 13.1%. Do the math. That's scary. There is a credit card company called First Premier that charges interest rates of 49.9%. You think that's bad? I got worse news. Amazingly, they have 2.6 million customers. If you've got that credit card in your wallet right now, take it out. Let's cut that sucker up. It's killing you. All right? student debt, the average student loan debt is $31,509. The average mortgage in America is $147,133. Approximately 8 million Americans are at least 1 month behind on their mortgage payments. 8 million. 29%, almost one-third, are underwater on their loan, meaning that they owe more than what the house is worth. Car loans, 45% of new car auto loans are for more than 6 years. They're tying themselves to a car that loan will be 6 years. And 70% of all car purchases involve an auto loan. Debt, and more debt. We have trouble with money. Now, you might be saying, preacher, I'm here to sing crazy songs and energetic songs about Jesus and hear me some Bible stories and say a prayer or two to Jesus. If I wanted to talk about money, I'd stay at home and watch Fox Business Channel or CNBC or something like that. Read the Wall Street Journal. Let me speak to that. Many people think that some subjects are incompatible with God. That talking about God and money are like talking about politics around the dinner table. Let me tell you that money is one of the most frequent subjects in your Bible. Nearly half of all Jesus' parables have to do with money. But maybe you're still unsure about mixing the subject of religion and money. Let me tell you, I am very certain that you already have mixed the two. Have you ever prayed about money? Did you ever pray about a raise for a new job to bring you more money? Ever pray that you could afford something? Oh God, I just want that new iPhone 5, whatever it is. Ever blame your money problems on sin? Have you ever done that? You think maybe God's punishing you because of a sin. So that's mixing the two right there. I didn't get that raise because, you know, I lost my temper the other day. And God would have given me that raise had I not lost my temper. Or maybe my car battery died and it's going to cost me money. And the reason that whole bad thing happened was because I passed that guy that was asking for money and I should have given him money, but I didn't. Like God's karma, like God has this karma that is causing all of this. If you've ever done any of those things, if you've ever thought any of those things or prayed anything like that, you have already mixed the subject of God and money. And I'm here to tell you, that's not a bad thing. Some of those thoughts are wrong, but mixing God and money is not a bad thing. I believe God wants us to talk about money. Yeah. Trust me, I'm not preaching about money because I think it will get me that many more amens to anything else I could preach. No, truth is, usually when you preach about money, people sit there and go, this is uncomfortable. Money is an emotionally charged topic. Yeah. I promise you, there are no gotcha moments, and I'm asking you to trust me. Will you trust me, Redemption Church? Will you trust me? Trust me. All right. Our intro video told you about the all-watchful eye of George Washington. Old George is always watching, and you can learn a lot about us by looking at our checkbook. Don't judge me today. Don't judge my heart. Don't judge my spirituality by the fact I'm up here preaching to you. I tell you that it is much better to look at how I spend money to understand the spirituality and the heart of Chris Fluitt. Money talks. And it tells you about balance. Everyone said balance.
Balance.
Balance is important. There are three laws of balance. Let's see if I can tell them to you and not drop this. Number one, you need a reference point. Number two, you need constant correction. And number three, you need a clear objective. Whew, we did it. Amen. Pastor does tricks. juggle. Cue the circus music. All right. In cheerleading, when those girls are being held way up high, and sometimes by one hand, it's a precarious situation. Who here wants to be in that situation? Not me. All right. They're held up way up high. They are taught to look for a reference point. And to gain their balance, they locate a stationary object and they focus on it. They do not look down at the person holding them. They look out and they find an object that doesn't move and they focus on that. If I am trying to balance this stick, the best place for me to look is right up at the top of it. If I can focus on that, I can keep it balanced. But if I look down at my hand, I already start to lose it. If I look out, we're gone. I'm already halfway across the stage. You got to have a reference point in order to have balance. When walking across a tightrope, the walker doesn't look down at his feet. He looks out and he finds a stationary point. He finds a reference point. His feet aren't stationary. The rope isn't stationary. Even that rope has some sway in it. They look off into the distance and they find a stationary point. If I look elsewhere, I lose my balance. If I look at my hand, I lose my balance. There are things in this life you can look at and completely lose your balance. Can I get an amen in the house? Proverbs 17:24 tells us this: a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. If you're ever going to have balance in your finances, you need to find your reference point. How do you do that? Well, here's how. You have to keep an eye on your spending. You have to be knowing where your money is going. Can you say that? You have to be knowing where your money is going. You need to watch your spending. Have you ever looked in your bank account, in your wallet, or in your credit card statement and said, I spent how much? Have you ever done that? There used to be money in this wallet. How did that number get so big on my spending report? How did this happen? What is really frustrating is that you can't usually remember what you even spent it on. Can I get a witness in the house? Have you ever been there? It's like, what did I even spend all that money on? You can't remember where you spent it or what you spent it on. When we take our eyes off our money, we become off balance. Money talks, and it says, you're off balance. We need that proper reference point to keep balance. Keep a detailed record of where your money is going. If you aren't doing that today, I encourage you to start. It's not complicated. We'd like to help you. As you leave today, we're going to be handing out some papers. Really simple. It has a date. It has a description. And it has an amount. Every time you spend money this week, you give us the date. Not us. This is for you personally. We're not going to be looking over this or even checking if you did it. But I want to encourage you, this is your reference point to keep an eye on your spending. Keep a description. And then at the end of this week, you'll know, well, I spent this much on entertainment. I spent this much on food. I spent this much on toll tag. Whatever it is. And if you're a married couple, why don't you put initials by it? This also solves one problem. A lot of married couples don't know what each other spends, and sometimes they have secrets. So keep that out. Keep all of that in view because it's about balance. It's about finding that reference point. If you aren't doing it, I encourage you to start today. You may be saying, well, Pastor Chris, the bank sends me a statement at the end of the month, so I know all the money that I spent. Let me speak to that. Will you let me speak to that? That statement, let me tell you, it isn't you knowing where your money is going. Here's what it is. It's the bank knowing where your money has already gone. And at the end of the month, you're already too far down that path. Let me tell you that the bank is really good at this. The bank is really good at knowing all the money you spent. Have you ever known them to miss a, oh, I spent $1,000 over here and they never noticed? No, they always notice. They don't have any discipline problems with this. It is us that has the discipline problems. There is no substitute for you knowing where your money is going. It's when we aren't paying attention to that reference point that we wake up completely out of balance. We wake up and we're thousands of dollars into debt. Me and my wife, we were married, very happily married, and just having a great time. But one day we woke up and we realized, wow, we are thousands of dollars in credit card debt. What did we spend it on? It was a rude awakening for us. Things get off balance just like that. We worked on this, and part of what I'm preaching to you today comes from that very personal place of getting out of debt, of finding balance in my life. Too often we find ourselves in a situation where we need more without being able to answer what we did with what we were given. I'm going to say it one more time. Too often we find ourselves in a situation where we need more. God, please give me more. I need so much more money, without knowing what we've done with what we've already been given. The teenager asks for money. The dad says, well, what did you do with the money that I gave you? Right? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there as the parent. Maybe you've been there as the kid. Well, what did you do with the money I gave you? The teenager says, I spent it. The dad says, where? Tell me what and where it was spent. The teenager shrugs and says, I don't know. I need more. Right? This is the case. It is so easy for us to see that in our teenagers. It is so easy for us to see, well, there's the problem. You're out of balance, teenager. But can we see it in ourselves? Proverbs 21 and 20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. But a foolish man devours all he has. The wise have a reference point. They know exactly what they have stored up. The fool can't hardly remember what he's eaten. He's just downed it. You got to know where your money is going. That's the reference point. Yeah. Second, you got to have constant corrections. As I'm trying to balance, I'm looking at my reference point. But things slightly get off balance here and there, and I have to adjust my hand. I have to adjust my body. When a tightrope walker is walking across that rope, his body will get out of alignment and he has to correct. There is constant correction involved with balance. You got to have constant corrections. This is the time to talk about a budget. Because you know where your money is going. You've had that reference point. Over the period of a few months, now you can look back and know approximately how much money you need to operate every month. That's what a budget is there for. And it helps you make those corrections. There are times when you get off balance. We have to make these corrections in order to get back on track. Yeah. There might be something like you've got car problems. And that's going to change your budget a little bit. You're going to have to correct some things. Your air conditioner goes out in your home. That was an unforeseen spending thing. And that's going to change that. So there's going to have to be constant corrections. Maybe we don't get to go to as many movies until we get this fixed and we get our balance back. Yeah. Are your finances unbalanced? Have you ever figured out a budget? And if And if you did, are you actually living by it? It's one thing to figure out a budget. It's another thing to live by it. I know that personally. Let me tell you, that's going to be a constant thing for you because balance requires constant correction. Here is a hard truth. Are you ready for it? Hard truth. Here it comes. We usually have enough money. We usually have enough money. We just don't manage what we have properly. There might be enough money, but there isn't any balance. The managing of money becomes more difficult when we get married. One of the reasons people give pastors for wanting to get married is it's going to save us money. We're real excited about that. We're going to pull all our money together and we get tax benefits. Let me tell you that the truth is marriage often brings about financial disasters. One person with specific upbringing and thoughts on money is raised in a family where they didn't talk about money. And they go off and they marry another person with an entirely different upbringing and thoughts on marriage. And suddenly these two couples come together, and guess what? They hardly ever talk about money. Oh, that stuff's going to figure itself out. So they've got these two backgrounds. They come together without talking about money. What happens next? Well, they get money, and financial problems and struggles arise. And then the pressure from all the money problems starts to come down on them. And guess what? Divorce. The number one cause for divorce is not infidelity. It's money problems caused by a lack of balance. They start arguing about money and arguing about spending. Rather than talk about it before they get married, now they're knocked down, drag out, arguing about it. And there's already a problem. Here's what you need to know. Two people that are madly in love can be destroyed by an out-of-balanced view of money. That's really sad. Balance requires a reference point, and it requires constant correction. Can I tell you, families, that your children need to hear you talk about money? They don't need to enter this world without hearing you talk about money. They need to hear conversations about how we should spend our money. They need to know that you've got a priority for how you spend the money. And they need to see that. They need to see what your reference point is. They need to see how you constantly correct. They need to see that. They shouldn't be caught off guard when they enter their own lives. They are going to walk into a college campus, and one of the first people they're going to talk to at the college campus is the local bank that is set up where? Inside the college campus. And they're going to have a form for them to fill out so they can get their very own credit card. They're going to be caught off guard if you don't prepare them. Parents, that's our job. That's our job. Redemption Church, that's our job. We got to talk about money. I want you to know that we don't have enough time to really cover budgeting in our Sunday services or even in our Connect groups. So I want to make you a deal. This is what we're going to offer. If you want some help forming a budget, if you've got questions about money, I want you to contact us. We will have a one-on-one financial counseling session with you. And when we sit down with you, we're going to help you take the steps towards financial balance. Here's how you get in touch with us. You text us, 214-856-0550. 214-856-0550. You talk to us. That's an anonymous line. And we will get in touch with you and we will get the ball rolling because we want to better you. We want you to get balanced. Yes. Amen. Remember that balance takes a reference point. You need to be knowing where your money is going. And it requires constant corrections. If you don't live by a budget, you will eventually stray off path. Last, you need a clear objective. The tightrope walker has a clear objective. Don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't fall. No, no, oh God, please, don't die, don't die. Right? Try not to fall off. That's clear objective. Really specific, clear objective. So I'm going to ask you, what is the objective of your finances? Do you have a clear objective? And is it shared by your family? Is it shared by your spouse? I'm going to give you some objectives that a lot of people have. I want to provide for my family. That's a good objective. I agree with that one. It's a great goal. But if that is all there is to your finances, you'll eventually be unbalanced. Have you seen these people? Well, my family needs that. I'm just going to go buy that car. I don't care about the debt. My kids need that. I'm going to give them whatever they want. And they grow up to be brats, right? If that is your objective, I mean, it's a great goal. But it'll get you off balance. How about this one? I want to make all the money I can. Well, that's important. It's a part of balance. You need to make money. Yes, you do. But maybe you make a lot of money, but you don't manage it well. So just because you're making lots of money, there are a lot of people that have made lots of money that it filed for bankruptcy. Right? And we look at those people and we go, what a dummy. If I had all that money, no, I wouldn't be filing for bankruptcy. You don't know that. Truth is, you might be filing for bankruptcy sooner than them. Because ultimately, it's not about intellect. It's about balance. Yeah. Amen. Provide for my family. Make all the money I can. How about this one? Save money. That's important. It's an important part. But if it is difficult for you to give money to others, you're out of balance. If you can't help those that you love, if you can't help those that God is calling you to help, then you're unbalanced. So saving money, that's not enough of an objective. Spending. I want to spend money. Now, this one's funny because no one would write that down as their clear objective. Correct? I just want to spend all my money. Spend, spend, spend. I want to do it. No one would say that. However, they might live it. We've already read the stats. Americans are living that one. They're constantly spending more money than they make. If that is your objective, you're in terrible balance trouble. How about this one? I want to be financially free. That's a comment we hear a lot. All right. Question, what does that really mean? It's kind of ambiguous. It's not specific enough to live by. I want to be financially free to do everything. Well, truth is, you're never going to be financially free to just do everything you want because that balance isn't there. Oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. Eventually, that would turn into spending. That would turn into all kinds of crazy stuff. The truth is this. If you pursue any one of two of these things to the neglect of the others, you'll be off balance. So what is a clear objective for us? We need a clear objective. Let's look at what King David says about a clear objective. First, here's some brief background. David is the king of
Israel.
All right. His desire is to worship God, to honor God. He's the king. And during his time, Israel is totally blessed. Israel is the eye of the world is on Israel. They've got military power. They've got financial blessing. It's just wonderful. It's a great time to be in Israel. And he is the king of Israel. David is living in a palace. Let me tell you, it's not just a cottage. This is a palace. It would make every other ruler's mouth drop to the floor. It's good to be the king, baby. And David is the king. But he looks out of his palace one day and he notices a tent. What's that tent? That's where God lives. God at this point did not have a temple. He lived in a tent. It was the same tent that they drug around the wilderness. God lived in a tent while David lived in a palace. That bothered David. David decides there's something wrong if I have all this wealth, but I don't use it to honor God. David gives an amazing amount of money But that's not all. He also calls on others to honor God with their finances. And we read about David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29 and 12. Here it is. Wealth and honor come from you, come from God. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are all these people? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Here's the answer to it. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. This is the king of Israel, and right there in that verse, verse 14, he's saying, God, we're giving you this, but here's the real deal. We're not giving you anything that didn't already come from your hand. Do you believe everything belongs to God? Do you believe everything comes from God? Not from you, not from your effort, not from your job. I'm not saying that you shouldn't work hard. I'm not saying any of those things. But do you believe ultimately those things come from God, like 1 Chronicles 29, 14 says? And are you living life in such a way that it shows you believe it? Would old George testify that you believe it? Our objective should be to honor God with our finances. And I mean all our finances. I grew up in the tithing culture. What is a tithing? What is a tithe? A tithe is simply 10%. I believe in a tithe. I believe it's very scriptural. I'm happy to talk to you about it if you want to talk about it. But a tithe is simply this. You take the first 10% of whatever your increase is and you give it back to God. That is a tithe. But here's how the culture really worked when I was growing up. You make a dollar, you tithe. You give God. Yeah, I know math is really hard. You give God what? 10 cents. You give him a dime. There you go, God. You make $10, you give God a dollar. Very good. You make $100 and you give God $10. And then you make $1,000 and you get, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a lot of money. That's the culture I grew up in. Whoa. $100, that was just real easy to give God and Alexander Hamilton. Is he on the 10? I hope so. All right. But make $1,000, I have to give God a Benjamin Franklin, and whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a lot. I think I'll just give $10. That was the culture I grew up in. What is that? Let me tell you, it's not balanced. But here's the other part of that culture. When we did give God our 10%, we acted indignant if God dealt with us about the 90%. God, you got your cut, so just scram. Talk to someone else. You got your bill from me. The 90% is mine, God, to do with whatever I want to do with it. That was the culture I grew up, and tithing can really turn into both of those sides really quick. Today, as I draw to a close, I want to ask you to honor God with all of it. Here's a very simple analogy. I've got a nice car. And you need to borrow that car. So I say, you know what? You're a good friend. I trust you. Pull out the car keys. Drop them in your hand. Say, go do what you need with my car and give it back to me when you're done with it. Right? Have you ever lent out your car? The person comes back, my good friend, and they drop off the keys and say, hey, here's your car. And I go, okay. And I look out, and the thing is smashed. The thing is just, there's a big gash down the side. One of the tires is missing, right? I don't know what in the world happened to the back end. It looked like it got crushed. But then you're quick to point out to me, oh, but brother, did you check out the front? That fender is perfect. And I go, what are you talking about? And you say, well, 10% of this car is perfectly good shape. It's perfectly good 10%. It's the other 90% that's, not so good. Do you think that I would have a problem with you over this? Let me tell you, here's the problem. It's not your car. It was lent to you. And when I lent you my car, I expected you to honor my gift. How much percent? 10%? 30%? Did I expect you to honor my car gift 100%? You bet I did. Does this make sense? Let me tell you, it's not your money. It's not your money. We're going to be talking more about this next week. But if you want to get off balance, you start thinking that it's your money, that it's your hard work, that you deserved this. It wasn't your money. In fact, the Bible tells you that it was lent to you. He makes you a steward of it. He puts it in your hand. And not just to make you happy, but for kingdom purposes. That's why God has put money into you. So we come back to God and we say, God, you ought to be happy. You ought to just be quiet because I've given you a percentage. And God says, what about the 100%? I want us to start acting like what we have has been lent to us. I want us to act like it's not ours to begin with. And that way, you shouldn't freak out over money. That way, you shouldn't be very prideful about it. That way, you should be willing to bless others. That way, you should always be happy for what you have, and you shouldn't be looking around going, I just don't have enough, and I'm grumpy and angry about it. No, you realize that it was all a gift, and it's really a nasty thing to not be happy and thankful over a gift. I want us to start acting like what we have has been lent to us. Every time we come together, we do three things. We worship the Lord, we give praise to God, and we've done that today. You've done that very admirably. So excited to worship the Lord with you. And you've received the Word of God. I've just brought you just this little meager message, and you've received it today. But we're not done. Number three is we open this altar to talk to God. If this stuff hit you anywhere in the heart, I want you to come talk to God about it. If it didn't hit you in the heart, if it doesn't immediately talk to your life at all, you can still come talk to God. Come talk to God about whatever's going on in your life. There are more balance issues than just money. So come talk to God today. These altars are already open. If you need special prayer in this place, you come in the first 2 feet, and we will come pray with you. Nobody's going to bother you in this altar if you don't come into the first 2 feet. But if you come into the first 2 feet, we know that that means you want us to pray with you. And we believe that when we pray with you, you will get exactly what you need. So I challenge you, if you need something from God today, come into the first 2 feet. God wants to give it to you. We want to agree with you on it. In Jesus' name, come on, offer yourself to the Lord in this house. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. All of our heart, all of our finances, 100% of our life, God, 100% of our family, 100% of us and our energy, we offer it to you, Jesus. Lord, forgive us, God, for ever acting like you just deserve a percentage. You deserve all. We love you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church, reach out to the Lord in this place. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Do you really believe God works miracles?
Yes.
Do you believe God will work a miracle for you?
Yes.
I believe in that. I believe that the parting of the Red Sea, he would do that for you. I believe raising from the dead, Jesus Christ, he would do that for you.
Amen.
I just want to offer something. If you need a miracle in this, I just feel led to invite you right here. We're going to pray for you with faith, believing for a miracle. We talked about finances. If you are in a financial situation where you need a miracle, you know it's just, you are in such dire need. I want you right here. If you've got a health problem that you don't know what you're going to deal with, I want you right here. God works miracles. If you've got a relationship issue, you just honestly, God working a miracle in, I invite you right here. Why? Because I feel so strongly right now that if we believe in miracles and we have a God who actually works miracles, that we should ask him to do miracles. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on somebody. I'm waiting on you. Where are you? Where are you? Come on up. Come on up. Scott, come on up here. Marshall, if you come up here, let's pray. I want you to just stretch your hands up. Stretch your hands out towards these people. We thank you for these miracles, God. You're going to work a miracle right here, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.